Say, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. We talked about this last week and talked about a verse. I'll actually show you. It's this verse, and it's out of Psalm 92. It's actually two verses, verses 1-2. It is good. Say good.
Good.
It is good. It's good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name, Most High, to declare your faithful love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. And this is the what we talked about last time. Like, if some we use this phraseology in modern English quite a bit. It's good. Hey, it's good if you're going out to make sure you got a pair of extra gloves and some ear muffers, you know, in your trunk, and you know, whatever, a safety flare and a charged up cell phone and a full tank of gas. Right? It's good. Like, what are we saying? We're saying, prepare for this scenario, because this is we want you to prosper and do well. We don't want you to freeze your fingers off. We don't want you to have to, you know, hike 2 miles in high heels at 40 below zero, you know, whatever. Like, we want you to be taken care of. It's good. Hey, it's good if you take your vitamins, right? It's good if you get enough protein in your diet. Like, we say this phrase very commonly, quite often. You know, it'd be good if whatever, fill in the blank. And what we're saying is things will go better. It will be a better scenario. It'll be my life will work as it should if we do the it is good. So it is good. God is saying, I know how your life is meant to work. Your brain and your life is tainted by selfish desires and sin and whatever. So we don't always have the clearest picture of what we should do. So we should listen to God. Tell your neighbor, listen to God. We should listen to God when he tells us, this is for your good. This is for, he's not like, I command you to do this. Like, there's some of those in there. But this is, hey, it's good. Things will go better in your life. It's a rich, flourishing state of being. That's Jesus when he gave the Sermon on the Mount. He said this, that word that he used there, it was one of the first series that I did when I started preaching at COC here. Makarios is the Greek word. Blessed are though, you know, like it's we don't have a one-to-one translation for it. It's a word that means so rich and blessed and good and happy and fulfilled is your life, right? That's the vision that God has for your life. We often think that God has this miserable existence planned for us, and he's gonna see if he can get us to do something wrong so he can smote us, right? But God's got a picture of thriving, vibrant, life-filled life. I mean, light, like the breath of God, life, like a life that's fully alive. Let's say that. God wants you to live a life that's fully alive. Amen? How many have ever lived a life where you're just existing? If you're here this morning and that's you, God's got more than that for you. He wants us to thrive, a vibrant life. Say vibrant. That's what God's saying here. It's good. It is good. If you want to live a vibrant, fulfilled, energetic, amazing life. I don't know. I'm running out of adjectives, Stephen. You're going to have to get your thesaurus out and help me out here. A life that's fulfilling and fulfilled, a life-filled life, an alive life. It's good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praise to his name. And this is what we discovered last time. Remember what we talked about this morning in our little deal, halftime deal? A gift, do you earn it? It's free. There's this free gift, and it's called grace. One of the free gifts that we have is grace, the grace of God, this beautiful graciousness that's poured out on us, that gives us things that we don't deserve, that brings beauty in our life. That's the favor of God when he looks at us. When someone looks at you with favor, they do this. Yeah, right? It's their face lights up and they want good for you. You do that, or any grandparents in here? You look with favor on your, right? You see those little, because they get to leave when you get tired of them, right? So then they come back, and then you've got all this graciousness, this charis, this hen, right? Don't be acting up. Just don't. So God's looking at us with this graciousness, this hen, this. The Greek word is charis. It's where we get charismatic. It's grace gifts. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. It's the grace gifts, the charisma, the charis of God, the grace of God. And so what we learned is we're saved by grace through faith, right? It's the grace of God that saves us. It's not our works. It's not our effort. It's not our energy. It's a free gift. Amen? Yeah, are we on the same page? The grace of God, it's poured out freely. It's a gift. And it's God's favor towards us. And so what we hit on last time was this phenomenon that we see in 1 Timothy and in other places, but we're only going to just recap this one this time before we move on. It's 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 14. I give charis, I give thanks, I give grace, I give thanks to Christ. So the word charis there is the same word charis down there. And almost every other time, with a few exceptions, the word charis is translated grace. It's the grace. Anytime you read about the grace of God in Scripture, that's charis. It's this free gift poured out to us from God. And it's the grace of God that saves our life. But then we start off in this verse here in verse 12, and I give charis to Christ. I give grace to Christ. Wait a minute. I don't give grace. God gives grace. Wait a minute. Hold on, church. I don't give grace. God gives grace. Except for the Bible tells me that I give grace. Hold on a minute. What's the problem here? This really has been stumping me, and I preached on it last week, and it's just this powerful. I don't have my little illustration here today. Do you guys remember what we had here last time? The fuse box, breaker box, yep. And so what this is God pours out his charis, his grace, his favor, his kindness towards us. And then remember we talked about the two wires. You got the power wire and then the neutral wire. The power wire brings power to a light or a toaster or whatever we used last time. And then the neutral wire brings that power back to the box. It can't just dead end there or it won't create power. It has to be a circuit. And so that was our lesson for last week, is that the charis of God that we give when we give thanks, when we thank the Lord, when we're grateful to God, when you just stop and you just start giving thanks to God. And remember, it can't just be in your heart. Remember, the word that we talked about in the Psalms was that, chuck it up. You got to open hand. You got to give it to God. Say it with your mouth. Give it, demonstrate it. Be thankful to God. And when you give that thanks back to Christ Jesus, you're completing that circuit. And so I said, anywhere you need to see more of God's grace in your life, start giving thanks. Are you with me, church? Does anyone have any areas that you need to God to show up, that you need more of God's grace in? I could list 6 or 27 right now, just without even thinking about it. I need more of God's grace. On the way home from church last Sunday, just so that I'm not called a heretic and a hypocrite, I had a situation in our family pop into my mind, and I thought, oh, yeah, I need some grace there. And so I took this situation that I would be tempted to just be worried about or nervous about or anxious about, and I took that situation, and I thanked God for every single thing that I could think of in my drive home and as I walked in the house and changed clothes and got ready for lunch after church last Sunday. I just started bringing that to the Lord. Oh, well, yeah, but Pastor, there's things wrong. Right, there's things wrong with all kinds of places. Start giving thanks for the things that are right. Oh, wow, thank you that we can do this in this situation. Thank you that it wasn't this bad. Thank you that I can still bring this. If you guys start practicing this, you're going to see, if you guys don't get anything else out of the sermon today, I'm not going to pull a Steven and say tune out. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say stay tuned in. But if you only get one thing, just the refresh of last week, if we could do that in our life, you would see more of the grace of God than you ever thought imaginable. Because as we're giving thanks, that's part of prayer. It's part of prayer. And so as we give thanks, then you're just naturally bringing those scenarios to God, and the grace of God starts showing up. You complete the circuit. You make the circuit. The grace of God's poured out on our life. We give the thanks back to the Lord. It lets the circuit flow. Come on. Wish I had more power. Wish I had more grace in my life. How much are you giving thanks? How much are you cultivating gratefulness in your life? You guys, anyone ever dealt with the effects of gravity? Anyone ever gotten older? We can pray all we want for gravity to go away. It's not going to go away. So we have to actively resist it every single day, right? Every time you pick something up, you're resisting gravity. We have to be intentional about it. Well, Lord, I hope you just move that bucket up onto the shelf. We have to be intentional about it. And the same way with doom, gloom, and negativity, it's always there. You don't have to work hard. I was having a conversation with my dad just on Thanksgiving. It is so easy. It is effortless to be negative. You want to be a grumbly Gertrude? Negative Nancy? Guess what? That is the lowest bar you can set. It just happens naturally. Go ahead. Don't think about Jesus for a week and just see what naturally comes. You just naturally love him. Wow, this is wrong. Wow, this is wrong. Wow, this is wrong. And when you start doing that, it starts coloring your eyeballs, and then everything. You ever done? Yeah, don't raise your hand, because man, we're pathetic people sometimes. You ever been in a season like that where you started just complaining about things? I'm just going to give full vent to my unhappiness about this. Guess what? I bet you found 43 other things in your life on that same day that you didn't know that you weren't that unhappy about, but now you're convinced that I'm unhappy about this too. And I don't like that either. And I don't like you either. And I don't like you, right? And that's what happens. It's like a cancer. Once it gets on you, I think I said last week, it's like walking into a smoker's home, you know, like it gets on you. It permeates your clothes. And when we had sewer problems, we used to like when Alan smoked meat right outside the door, because that smoke would waft in here and then it wouldn't smell like sewer anymore. So everyone, for the next couple of years, Alan would walk in and, whew, time to smoke some meat again. But it was funny because you could leave and the smoker was gone for weeks and you could walk back in and, whoa, still smells like smoked meat in here, which was better than sewer. But negativity is like that. It permeates. It gets on you. It gets in you. And so you have to actively, intentionally. You're not going to accidentally work your way into Thanksgiving. Come on, church. You are not going to accidentally be grateful. You have to, it's a choice. And God set it up that way. You have to cultivate gratitude in your heart, and that completes the circuit. Amen? Amen. So we're going to look at that verse again, our verse that we started off with, and we see that it's good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praise. It's good to sing praise. And these two are connected. Praise is this beautiful thing. Nikki Gumbel says, grace is a gift. Hey, where did we hear that before? And the appropriate response to a gift is thanksgiving. Listen to this line that he says. Praise is the supreme form of thanksgiving. And therefore, praise and worship is the appropriate response to the God of all grace. Man, it's good for you to cultivate thanksgiving and praise. God, I praise you. You're so good. You're amazing, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. Just let this gratitude for God's working cultivate your life, and all of a sudden you're going to see more grace and more of God show up. See, what we cultivate grows. You start cultivating thanksgiving and praise. I'm not just talking about on Sunday morning. I praise God every Sunday. Good for you. Praise Him every Monday. Praise Him every Tuesday. Every Thursday night, every Friday morning, every Saturday afternoon, let's cultivate thanksgiving and praise to God. Psalm 7, verse 17 says, I will give what? Thanks to the Lord because of His righteousness. I will sing the what? Praises of the name of the Lord Most High. He's worthy of our praise, and it is good. The flow of grace in our life is to be cultivating thankfulness, appreciating what God's done. Don't take for granted all the little things that God does, because they're not sometimes little. They just seem little, but if they were missing, you would notice, and it would be a big thing. God, thank you that I can get out of bed. Thank you that I can walk. Thank you that I've got breath in my lungs. And we can start complaining, but Lord, don't just cultivate that thanksgiving. Cultivate praises to God. You are good. You know what, God, you are good. I choose this morning to give you praise. You are amazing, God. You've made the sun and the moon. You've given us stars to God. Wow. And just let your heart just be caught up, and you're so good. Come on, temperature warning. Just back off. All right. Psalm 145:3 says, great is the Lord and most worthy. Most worthy of what? Praise. His greatness no one can fathom. The Bible says that there's going to come a moment at the end of history, when history is no longer and it's just the now of eternity, that in that singular moment that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord, there's going to be this moment of worship. Everyone's going to worship. Everyone does worship. Not everyone worships Jesus, but everyone will for one moment. There will be a moment before they're separated and we go to eternal life to be with the Lord, and those who have not received the Lord have walked away from him where they are separated for eternity. And in that moment, there's going to be just this glorious moment of everyone giving praise to God. And not because he demands it, because he's worthy. You guys, if you guys ever heard just the loudest bang in your life, what is your natural response? Right? Or someone screams, right? Because there's a natural response to it. You don't decide. It just happens involuntarily. Sometimes things are so beautiful, you walk by and you just stop. Stops you in your tracks, right? Husbands, when you see your wife in the morning, just, whoa. Right? Right, Mickey? Yes. Amen. Because it's not a response that we calculate. It demands it. That the nature of what it is demands that response. And the nature of who God is demands a response of praise just because he's that worthy. And I don't think that we understand that. And we can't, because we have this limited, we're human. Our minds can only grasp so much. But as we're standing in his presence, seeing him in all his reality for the first time, we won't have to. It just will. We won't be made to. We just will. There's only one response. You can't not. You flip on the light switch, there's light. Like, light comes on, darkness goes. Like, it doesn't choose to. It just does. Praise just naturally. Right now we have a choice. But when we're confronted with the majesty and awe of God, we won't choose to. It just will. So that's what I want to just cement in before we kind of move on a little bit, is praise is just if we let our hearts get yielded into the appropriate place, we'll just naturally praise God. Amen? Because he's just that worthy. He's so worthy. He's so worthy. He's so worthy. He's so worthy. What does it mean to praise the Lord? We could do weeks on this. We're just going to give the short version. It comes from the Latin pretium, meaning price or value. It might be defined generally as an ascription of value, or giving value or worth to something or someone. And to praise God is to call attention to his glory. God, you're so glorious. You're so wonderful. You're so majestic. So this morning, we're just going to do a quick pass. Why is it good to praise the Lord? This is going to be just a primer, just a 101. Like, well, I don't know. Well, I guess because the church tells us to or something. I don't know. Why should I praise God? This is like 101. Like, if you just didn't know why you should praise God, we're just going to give you some verses, not super deep, just the shallow and wide view of why we should praise God. And these are not all of them that are included. This is just some of them. The Bible commands it, right? Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, right? Just in case you didn't get it the first time through, period, capital P, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath, everybody do this. Exhale whenever you're comfortable. Do you have breath this morning?
Yes, sir. Praise the Lord.
So praise the Lord. There is a command in Scripture. Well, I don't know if he's really talking to me. Yep, he's talking to you. Well, I don't know if he means now. Yep. As long as you're having breath, you should be praising. You mean like on Sunday mornings? Well, as long as you don't breathe Monday through Saturday, then you're good. The times that it's appropriate to praise the Lord is the times that you're breathing. Is anyone with me? The appropriate circumstance for praising the Lord is whenever you're doing the and the. All right. Praise the Lord. And just in case you didn't get it the first time, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God writes his word for our benefit and our good. Amen. It's for his glory, but it's for our benefit. God's not trying to trap us. He's trying to help us. That's what his word is for. It's to benefit us. Yeah. Why else is it good to praise the Lord? It cultivates an atmosphere of God's presence. Now, there's this, on a fundamental level, God's everywhere. There's like levels of this, and this is confusing, but it's not really confusing, but I don't really know how it works, but it works. So then, as a Christ follower, we're now united to Christ, right? I am in Christ. Christ is in me. Absolutely. So theologically, absolutely. Where the Holy Spirit is no more further away than my next breath, right? He is in me. He's a seal in me. He's filled me. Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? So God is in us. Then there's another level that the Bible talks about where two or more are gathered. Wait a minute. That's a whole nother level. Like, there I am with them. I thought you were already everywhere. I thought you were already in us and we were in you. Yes, it's true. But we're two or more. Like, there's all these different expressions, and one doesn't negate the other one. It's just a different form, a different measure, a different expression. And then when we enter into thanksgiving and worship and praise, it cultivates. And I don't care. There's some people that just get really, God's already all with us, and we just become more aware of it. I don't care how you phrase it. All I know is that when I worship, when I give thanks, I don't care if I'm just more aware of his presence or there's more of his presence. Either way, it's a good thing. Either way, there's more of God interacting with me in that moment. So however, I don't care about your theology. Like, don't argue with me because I don't really care. Just saying something happens when I give thanks and when I praise the Lord. Some greater measure of his presence is revealed in my life. It's felt, it's experienced in my life. And we've experienced that in this church, right? There's been times where just in the last 2 years, year and a half, people have driven in the parking lot and they just went, whoa, I feel God here. And it ended up being just a phenomenal morning where God has just shown up and done incredible things. There's times where his presence is just, I don't know how that all works, but it just seems more tangible. It just seems more closer. But yet God's with us all, like, I don't know. Follow me to the next slide. Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2 says, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. I don't think that's the right one. Maybe it is. I think that's the wrong. I don't think I changed that one. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with what? Thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. So there's this idea of coming into the Lord's presence. I know this is Old Testament, but there's principles that carry through. And Psalm 100, this is all of Psalm 100. It's the whole thing. It's the whole chapter. We're going to read through it. Shout with joy to the Lord. Is it biblical to shout to the Lord? Yes. Okay, you see it right here. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Oh, just us, weird people? No, all the earth. Worship the Lord. When I was reading this earlier, just this morning, I was kind of going over the lesson. I just really felt like this was for someone today. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come on, dude. Just love Jesus. Let the joy of the Lord. As you're worshiping him, maybe some of you, worship has kind of devolved into a duty. Worship the Lord with gladness. Just renew a light heart for his presence. Oh, God, you're so good. And enjoy it. If you normally do something during worship and it's stagnant, do something different. Grab a cracker and some coffee. I don't know. But worship, like, let your attention just be drawn to him and enjoy it. Enjoy his presence. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with singing. Come before him singing with joy. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Come on, church. Come before him with joyful singing. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us. We're his. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Go into his courts with what? Praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever and ever. And his faithfulness, say faithfulness. Come on, that's what our first verse was talking about. It's the faithfulness of God. Man, we can be, if nothing else, you can just know that the Lord is faithful. He's that covenant faithfulness. Remember? Hanun and Rahum, right? That locked in. God's locked in to you. Yes, the raccoon. Yes, God is for you, and you're not going to shake him. His faithfulness continues to each generation. One more psalm here, Psalm 140, verse 13. Surely the righteous will praise your name, and the upright will live in your presence. We've been granted access, free access by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus and his sacrifice, to walk in his presence. We don't have to wait for a priest to create an altar for us to have the presence of God. We've got an altar of our heart. Your heart's an altar. Say, my heart's an altar. My heart is an altar to the Lord. And I want to cover that altar with something appropriate. Hey, think about this. The priests they cleansed the altar with the blood of the lambs and stuff. They prepared everything just so. The blood of Jesus covers our heart. But if you want to prepare your altar, start cultivating gratitude and praise. Does that make sense? And you'll meet with the Lord. You'll sense the presence of God in a greater measure in your life. All right, next slide. Why is it good to praise the Lord? It pleases the Lord. All right, well, I like to please the Lord. I will praise God's name, Psalm 69, 30 and 31. I will praise God's name with song and exalt him with thanksgiving. And we don't only talk about this sometimes at Thanksgiving time, but all throughout the year, all throughout the week, all throughout the month, as I'm worshiping the Lord, thank you, God. Thank you that I got to wake up this morning. Thank you for my family. Thank you, Jesus, that I missed that deer the other day when I was driving around. Thank you, God, for all the unseen things, right? And just cultivate that gratitude in your heart. I will praise God's name with song, exalt him with this thanksgiving. That will make the Lord torqued off at me. No, that will cause God to be indifferent. No, that will bring pleasure. That will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with horns and hooves. Because even in the Old Testament, even in the Old Testament, right? That was religion and ritual. Even in the Old Testament, you see that it's about the heart more than it's about the stuff that goes with. It's if we do the right stuff and have the wrong heart, it doesn't get us to where we need to go. Pleasing the Lord starts with making my altar right. Amen. Right? The altar of my heart that the presence of the Lord comes in and rests upon. Cultivate thanksgiving. Thank you, God. Man, thank you for all these people here this morning. They're smiling faces. They're so intent on listening to the word of God. Thank you, God. Thank you for these people that are growing, that you're doing things in their life. Wow. I'm thankful for you guys this morning, by the way. Why is it good to praise the Lord? It brings victory in our life. Come on. Now, as a charismatic church, you can't go through praise without talking about one of these slides. Hallelujah! Ram's horn. Right? That's just who we are. We're cut from that kind of cloth. But in the Bible, praise is often associated with victory. Was it, help me out, Stephen, was it Paul and Silas over in the prison and at the midnight hour or whatever, and praising God and praying, and the jail was listening to them, and all of a sudden chains fell off, doors open, singing hymns to God, right? Praise is associated with victory. All throughout the Word of God, praise is associated with victory. Praise is associated with freedom and overcoming and victory. Praising God is associated with victory in my life. 2 Chronicles 20:22. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. This is just one of the many, many verses that we could talk about, right? You guys ever remember a city by the name of Jericho? And the walls come down with a shout of praise. Well, where's Jim at when you need him? An old song that we used to sing back in the 90s. It was praise that brought the victory. That was the command of God. And then just walk around the city. Just walk around the city. Walk around the city. Let the priests go in front of you. Get the trumpets out. Let the trumpets trumpet. Okay, ready? All right, seven times on the last day. Blow those trumpets. All right. And the walls come down. Praise God. Cultivate praise in your life. You'll see more victory. Cultivate thanksgiving. And you'll honestly care less if there's victory or not, right? Because your life will get better with or without victory. Cultivate praise. You'll see more victories. You'll be blessed either way. Amen? Amen? I feel like you guys are with me today. I feel like we're going on a journey. Hallelujah. The bus is full. Why is it good to praise the Lord? It's why we're created. It's why we're created. Isaiah 43, 21. The people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. I formed you. As long as you are not actively cultivating praise in your life, you're living short of God's purposes for your life. Just full stop. End of story. I have nothing else to say other than that's 100% true. It's not a guilt thing. It's just a fact. It just is. If we're created to praise God, the people I formed for myself, that they might, for the purposes of, that they might proclaim my praise. If we're not proclaiming the praises of the Lord, no condemnation, just facts, you're living less than the full purposes that God's intended for your life. And you'll never be fully fulfilled and fully realize what God has for your life. That's just that simple. It's difficult, more difficult than that to cultivate that, but the fact of it is very simple. We're made for this. When we praise God, we're made for that. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. That, why? Why are you that? That's what you are. Why are you that? That you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's why God saved you. So that you might praise the Lord with you, that your life would be an offering to God, that you would praise Jesus. Thanksgiving and praise, man. C.S. Lewis, we're going to finish up with some C.S. Lewis quotes here. Hold on. Do you guys know who C.S. It doesn't matter. I quote him once in a while. He's a super, like, man, if you want to wrestle with some thoughts, get Mere Christianity. Oh, it is life to your soul. It took me a long time to read it because I'm not that smart. And I had to keep rereading it. And then I forgot what I read. And I'd read the page over again. Then I'd take notes. And then I'd reread it again. It took forever. But it was so good. We read a lot of things nowadays. In 2024, we read for information. C.S. Lewis writes to help you to learn how to think about God. And it is rich and it is powerful. I'm going to read these. And he's talking about praise and thanksgiving here. So these are C.S. Lewis. Here we go. The most obvious fact about praise, whether it's praise of God or praise of anything, I'm adding helper words for people like me that take a while to get it. It strangely escaped me. So this fact about praise, like I didn't get it, is what he's saying. I thought of it in terms of praise being like a compliment or approval or the giving of honor. I had never noticed that all enjoyment, all real enjoyment, spontaneously overflows into praise, unless shyness or the fear of boring others is deliberately brought in to check it. What he's saying is, if you're enjoying something, like you're really enjoying something, you have to talk about it. I was eating my cranberry sandwich last night. Avery and Aspen were there, and we had mac and cheese, and I sat down and I took a bite, and I went, oh, I made a noise. Like, I didn't mean to. It just came out of me. And you know what I did the rest of the meal? As we're eating all the same meal, I kept talking about the cranberry sandwich that I cooked. I didn't mean to. I couldn't stop it, though. This is so good. And Marnie'd be like, oh, honey, this is so good, right? We kept talking about why. We're all eating the same thing. You don't need to tell them. They're eating it, too. But we kept talking about it. Because it was praise of the sandwich. Like, this is really good. And that's what C.S. Lewis is noticing. I noticed that if you're really enjoying something, you don't shut up about it. It just kind of spills out of you. He said, the world rings with praise. Readers praise their favorite poet, walkers praising the countryside, players praising their favorite game, praise of weather, wines, dishes, actors, motors, horses, colleges. Horses? Can you praise? Well, come on, I don't know. Colleges, countries, historical personages, children, flowers, praise of mountains, rare stamps, rare beetles, even sometimes politicians or scholars. Except where intolerably adverse circumstances interfere, listen to this line, guys. Praise almost seems to be inner health made audible. Oh, church, you just got your refund for your price of admission today. That line right there. You want to talk about our soul and emotional health? Praise, C.S. Lewis wrote this 80 years ago, whatever it was. Praise almost seems to be inner health made audible. If I can't hear your praise, my question is, how's your soul? Whoa, church, come on. This is good. This is good. Oh, it hurts so good. This is good. If I can't hear your praise, I want to know what's wrong with your soul. I want to help. Because it should overflow. Amen. He says, praise almost seems to be inner health made so that I can hear it. I want to hear the healthiness of your soul. And I can tell by how you praise. Come on. Man, that's good. He goes on, he says, I had not noticed either that just as men spontaneously praise whatever they value, so they spontaneously urge us to join them in praising. Isn't she lovely? Wasn't it glorious? Don't you think that's magnificent? The psalmist, in telling everyone to praise God, are doing what all men do when they speak of what they care about. We want people to join in. God, but you don't. Have you ever had that conversation with a friend that just didn't get it about Christianity? You just don't get it. He's so good. You don't get it. He's that good. Like, I know you don't see it now. Come over to my side. Come and see what I see. Man, God is, let me tell you about it. Let me tell you about this time where I was just in depression. Let me tell you about this time when my kid was wounded and God healed it. Let me tell you about this time that my family was broken and God healed. Let me tell you, he's so good. Praise God with me. He says, C.S. Lewis says, it's frustrating to have discovered a new author and not be able to tell anyone, all you book people out there, not be able to tell anyone how good he is. To come suddenly at the turn of the road upon some mountain valley of unexpected grandeur, then to have to keep silent because the people with you care for it no more than a tin can in the ditch. To hear a good joke and find no one to share it with. Gorgeous. Right? Today, in 2024, in the day of cell phones and social media, why does everybody post what they're having for supper, what they see out their front door? Because they want you to enjoy it with them. Like, oh, this is so good. That's why. It's praise. We want you to praise what I'm praising. I want to invite you into the goodness of this moment. Right? We want other people to do it with us because that's the natural response. And God is so good. And so, he says this last slide from C.S. Lewis, I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses it, but it completes it. Hey, now we're getting somewhere. It's appointed consummation. The delight is incomplete until it's expressed. Cranberry sauce. I am so enjoying this moment, but I'll enjoy it a lot more if I tell Irv about it. Right? You guys know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the human condition here. We're wired by God to praise him and enjoy him. Enjoy the Lord. Worship the Lord with gladness. And then we'll be like, oh, you got to know my God. You got to worship him too. And I was in prayer. Oh, he's so good. Let me tell you about it. It completes it. It fulfills it. I enjoy it, but it's not quite there until I hit post. Put it in modern day terms, right? Now I really enjoy this sunset. Now I really enjoy my new outfit. Post. Right? the sharing of it completes the joy of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So when I praise the Lord, I'm experiencing His goodness, and I want to thank Him. So when I start to express to God, oh, God, You've been so amazing in my life. Now you start to enjoy His presence because you completed it. You brought the consummation of that. You brought the finishing of by praising God. You're completing the enjoyment of what He's been pouring out in your life. Last slide today by William Law. He says, would you know who is the greatest saint in the world? It is not he who prays most or fasts most. It is not he who gives most alms or is most eminent for temperance. You can tell this was written a while ago. Chastity or justice. But it is he who is always thankful to God, who wills everything that God wills, who receives everything as an instant of God's goodness, and has a heart always ready to praise God for it. Come on, church. I hope that your heart was stirred this morning. I hope that just maybe this peeled back the curtain on praise and thanksgiving just a little bit to go, oh yeah, the Bible says I'm supposed to do that. Instead of just, oh, we do that on Sundays. No, man, 24/7. As long as I can do and praise the Lord, right? And it's going to complete that joy. You're going to start to realize the blessings of God overflowing in ways that you never imagined. And we're going to become people of praise and thanksgiving. And you're going to see grace, grace and more grace and more grace. Say more grace. And more grace and more grace and more grace and more grace and more grace. As we're thankful and we complete that by giving praise to God, there's more grace. And then we're like, whoa, God, You did this too. I'm so thankful for that. Oh, and then I see this. I forgot about that. Oh, and I didn't even notice. That could have went so wrongly, but it went so rightly. Thank You, God, for that. You're so good. And you start praising Him in more grace and more grace and more grace and more grace. That's the flow of grace today. Amen. Amen. Whew. I was blessed by that message. Thank you, Pastor. That's Jesus. I just prayed this morning, my God, help me out here. I was enjoying that as I was preaching it because I was listening to the Holy Spirit plant things there that weren't there when I started. I love God. He's so good. See, I just had to tell you about it. Do you see what I mean? It's God's goodness. Man, tuck that in your pocket and walk away with this today. Cultivate thanksgiving and grace in your life. I'll be done. It's hard. I just want you to praise God with me. Just thank the Lord. Thank You, God, for this great group of people. Thank You for Your grace. We praise You this morning. God, we just thank You for being so good to us. And I pray that You'd help us to cultivate this in our lives. I pray that You'd work this out in us. Give us a great day today in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen.